we present the News Quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome once again to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Sydney Star, read by Peter Donaldson.
Sydney police have jailed 120 men, all named Henry, after a massive brawl. The men were attending a Henry convention when a punch-up broke out.
Well, now let's meet the teams, not a Henry among them. Will you welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. Facing them, on my left, Alan Corran and Andrew Rawnsley. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from The Guardian, sent in by Donald Head of Lancaster.
Correction. Paul Sussman of the Big Issue magazine has asked The Guardian to make it clear that he said Germaine Greer's offer to house the homeless was a generous offer and not a dangerous offer, as stated in yesterday's newspaper.
Richard, why would you be a silly billy to believe everything you read in Hansard?
Is this to do with Dennis Healy advertising Visa cards on the television? I think it's rather sad to see him reduced to that role in life. Possibly Mr. Callaghan will be doing the same sort of thing.
Yes.
Am I getting near, Mr. Chairman?
Good God, no. Not that any of us in this hall expected you to.
Lying to Parliament, is it?
That's what it's about, of course.
Yes.
I read this in the paper, Richard. That's that thing that arrives in the morning. It's terribly interesting. It tells you what's happened.
Presumably it's a reference to our friend Mr. Wargrave, is it?
Yes.
That was very nicely pronounced.
Yes. I never know how to pronounce it, whether you say Waldegrave or...
Well, he changed it, because it used to be pronounced Waldegrave, and he thought Wargrave was much better.
Yes,
Wargrave.
But now it's, after these remarks, is 1 foot in the grave.
Anyway, he made a statement to the effect that it was quite all right to tell lies in Parliament.
But he was lying. So it isn't. Or was he? You see,
No. He said if it could be shown that if it was in the best interests of the Conservative Party, then it was permissible.
And
he then accused Mr. Callaghan, who is not, I should say, making these television commercials, he accused Mr. Callaghan of having told a lie.
You're more or less right. It's all about William Waldegrave, who announced that he thought it was OK for a minister to tell lies, but no one seems to believe him. Apparently, it's all right to mislead Parliament if security is involved, the security of the minister's job, most probably. He said that Labour ministers made a habit of fibbing about devaluation, but couldn't think of any other examples. If only he'd looked at Conservatives, it'd have been spoilt for choice between mine closures, increased taxation, the use of call girls, and which direction sunken battleships were sailing. Ian, you were so helpful to Richard. Here's a question all your own. Who's hoping it will be Whitewater under the bridge?
Oh, this was in the paper as well.
You'll find many of these questions were.
It's terribly good. I'm so glad I read it. This is a reference to President Clinton.
Yes.
And her husband. It's something to do with Hillary Clinton running a law firm, and...
A lot of shredding goes on. It usually always happens at American scandals, doesn't it? Everything's shredded.
Sure, you're quite right. It is the Whitewater scandal, which looks set to ruin President Clinton's image and undermine all the good publicity bills secured by smoking cannabis, sleeping with a second-rate cabaret singer, and naming his daughter after page 8 of the A to Z. Meanwhile, the president dismissed any suggestions of similarities with Watergate. Quite right. Nixon was a crook and a Republican, and Clinton... Well, he's a Democrat. Andrew, nice to have you back on the programme. Your question is this. What damn trouble won't go away?
Oh, I think we're in somewhere in the far east of Asia with this one. We're talking about the Pergau Dam, where we gave the Malaysians about 200 million quid in aid, and they bought £1 billion of arms off us.
Because they're so terribly... Money, we'd have bought a bloody shredder. I don't know what it is with this guy. Everybody else shreds. All our stuff just sort of lies around. People poke through it and they say, oh, hello, you've taken £4 billion of this and you've given them plutonium. And all you were doing was building them a hostel for the needy. We leave all our stuff lying around. It's quite outrageous.
They believe in Tipex in the British government. This is the continuing row about Malaysia, about the Pergau Dam and the aid for arms, which in brief goes something like this. If you pay us to build a dam you don't need, we'll give you money you don't need to buy military hardware you don't need, because you're a friendly, peaceful nation, and with friends like Britain, you don't need enemies either. The Malaysian government has taken exception to British newspaper reports impugning their business ethics. But then they're a funny old lot. For a start, they seem to believe what they read in British newspapers. Alan, will you have a listen to this? That was 007, sung by Desmond Dekker.
We've had these three easy questions.
Hold on, this one is even easier. No. How can one now dial M for a bit of argy-bargy? There you are, that's easy.
Dial M? This is the accessibility of MI thing, is it?
Yeah. Right. It's 007, you see, comes into
just
it.
Just all our spies coming out. You can get all our spies now. Just pick up the phone and they say... MI5 speaking, Tracy here, how may I help you? And then you say, I would like to know the inside leg measure of Sir Anthony Blunt, and they tell you.
I mean, it's just open espionage, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it's a bit more than that, actually, for 4 points. Come on.
Well, I mean, presumably it's Argentina.
Argy-bargy, yes.
Argy-bargy.
We're going to be training some of the...
We are going to be bringing Argentinians over here.
Yes, so they and can sell weapons to Iraq, I presume.
Sell dams, nuclear dams to Malaysia.
This is the news that MI6 has a contract to train Argentinian intelligence officers. One of them found it stuffed into a hollow tree on Hampstead Heath.
That's not what's stuffed into a hollow tree. I speak as one who knows.
The Argentinians want to take full advantage of the same British spying expertise that did so well in keeping them out of the Falklands. On their first training day, the students gained top marks for finding MI6's secret headquarters. They went over Wandsworth Bridge, turned right, and looked out for a big, shiny green building, cunningly camouflaged behind a sign which says, MI6 Secret Headquarters. And we start round two. I mean, I've given you the scores, which are unsurprisingly for all. So well done, chaps. Richard, who was pleased with a garage bill for £24,000?
Yes.
I'll give you a clue.
Looks at colleague.
It was William Wargrave. He took his car to a Malaysian garage. They turned it into a tornado.
Any clues going? Proper ones?
Well, there's a young woman is involved.
Someone's I remember this garage. Because it was about... 17-year-old girl in leathers with a spanner and oily hands. It's not the sort of thing that is jogged out of the memory that easily at my age.
When were you a Conservative MP?
She's... Jolly.
Sorry, go on.
No, have a bite of my orange. This is a woman called Linda, a woman person called Linda, who took a course... in mechanics, and they wouldn't let her have a job at a garage. And she, it was an industrial tribunal case, she got 24,000 quid and her own socket set.
Well, near enough, except you got a name wrong. This is all about 17-year-old Karen Bishop, who was awarded £24,000 compensation after a BMW garage discriminated against her job application. She plans to put the money towards having her car serviced. The BMW manager said he had limited facilities and didn't know what to do about the grubby old shower. Well, he could start by sacking them and getting some clean mechanics. In their defence, they have made space for 12 women in the workshop. Miss January, Miss February, Miss March... Miss July. Anyway, Ian, your question now. Who's in a paddy about the state of their estates?
This is a woman called Linda. Or is it Paddy Ashdown?
Or, yes.
That was luck. So this is Paddy Ashdown. He's very worried about his estates.
Give us one point for Paddy Ashdown. Come on.
What's he done?
All he does is talk about Bosnia. Is it to do with Bosnia?
No, it's not to do with Bosnia. I will pass it yet again to the other side.
I hate to give a book plug to the leader of the Liberal Democrat Party, but is this about Paddy's incognito tour of the British Isles in so much as anybody would recognise him anyway. But he went round undercover to meet ordinary people, as politicians call people who aren't themselves, or normal people, as we call them. And he's come back very worried about the state of Britain and saying it needs lots of inspiring leadership. And when Mr. Ashdown looks in the mirror, I wonder if he gets a clue as to who he thinks might give that inspiring leadership.
He possibly does. This does refer to Paddy Ashdown's book, Beyond Westminster, Finding Hope in Britain, which has upset local councils in the regions with its portrayals of seedy city life. It makes you wonder why he had to go looking beyond Westminster, really. The leader of Manchester Council described Paddy's picture of Moss Side as superficial and laced with inaccuracies, while William Waldegrave described it as deep and wholly truthful. Andrew, here's a piece of music for you.
Madness, madness, they call it madness. It's plain to see that is what they mean to me. Madness, madness, I call it gladness.
Well, I don't have to tell you that was called Madness by a group called Madness. The question is, why don't the hamburgers and the frankfurters want our beef burgers?
Oh, this is the Germans. I think they're retaliating because we won't let them come to the D-Day celebrations and let bygones be bygones. And they say, well, the British government doesn't like it, but they say they won't have our beef because it might turn them mad. And looking at us, perhaps they're right.
It's another outbreak of hostilities with Germany about BSE. Not content with grabbing Rover, they're after our motorbikes as well. However, the Germans are looking to ban British beef because of fears about its safety. So far, 120,000 cattle have been put down that were mad, which is understandable. They must have been absolutely livid. This is Minister of Agriculture Gillian Shepherd is threatening retaliation by banning imports of Liebfrau milk, which would be a shame. It would mean we'd have nothing to clean our hubcaps with. And you thought the war was over, right. Alan, whose royal lines went missing?
Oh, yes, first of all, the son, poor lamb. There's lost all his cufflinks. But it wasn't that, it was his mother, who needed to prove, because doubt has been cast by the behaviour of some of her children, she was actually married to Prince Philip. Could be mad to Jack Nicholson or someone like that, I mean, given the gene content of the younger ones. Anyway, and there was a lot of asbestos about. And people came in to do the asbestos, and the public records office threw its skirts over its head and ran, leaving the Queen's marriage certificate. And it was stolen, probably by an asbestos man, and turned up in the north of England. And where they all got community service, which was strange. I didn't know. I thought it was very serious, taking the Queen's marriage line. I mean, you could have changed them, couldn't you?
Tip-X'd it out.
Yes, Tip-X'd it out, put Stalin on it.
Yes. Yes, it's absolutely right, Alan, every particular. This is the great mystery of the theft of the Queen's wedding certificate. The mystery being, once you've stolen it, what are you going to do with it? Her Majesty only noticed the theft when she needed to apply for a passport. Apparently, as soon as you say you're royal these days, they always ask for proof that you're married. And let me tell you the scores at the end of this round, which have changed dramatically, as they say, because Richard and Ian have 5. God knows how. But Alan and Andrew have a magnificent 10. So, no change there. We start round 3 with a letter to the Southport Midweek Visitor.
There are tremendous differences in the amounts of people parking since the pay and display has been introduced in Southport. In Birkdale, 50% of people park less in Southport, but the other 50% is more the same, so it works out equal. But in Southport, 75% said they parked the same, and 25% said more and less. There were more lesses than mores. This shows that the people from Birkdale are using Southport less. I hope this clarifies the issue for all concerned.
Absolutely brilliant. Thanks for sending that. Richard, your question yet again. What Bonnie Lass scored a goal with a plain-speaking Italian job?
Is it to do with the New England football team?
It is vaguely to do with that.
That's amazing. But there aren't women in the football team yet.
Oh, yes, there are, Richard. Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't think that had happened yet.
Let me explain. This is language tutor Lana Israel, who was named Brain of the Year after she helped Paul Gascoigne to learn Italian.
When's she going to teach him English?
Gazza proved to be such an adept pupil that he now delights teammates with his ability to belch bilingually. His newfound linguistic confidence has led to a greater understanding of Italian culture, and Gazza says he will invest in a canaletto just as soon as he manages to flag down an ice cream van. Ian, have a listen to this. She'll get you in Dutch. Well, you can look, but you better not touch. Poison. That was a group called the Lambrettas singing a song called Poison Ivy. And your question is, what street has removed its poison ivy?
I know this.
Nothing to be proud of.
That's absolutely amazing.
Well, you see, you don't watch the street, do you, Ian?
Which street?
The street.
The street. Yes. Surely you've heard of it.
Downing Street?
No, the Coronation Street.
So tell us about it. It's on the afternoon,
well,
is it?
This poor old Ivy, who works at the supermarket.
Yeah.
And she's just spent... I mean, this is what she's done in real life. Nothing. She's just spent £3,000 getting herself some new lips. It's true. I mean, this is in real life. This is better than the actual story.
I bet it is.
Anyway, she's been sacked. There's now great excitement as to know how she's going to be killed off. I think there could be a sort of avalanche in the supermarket. When she's walking along, all these tins could suddenly fall down.
by a pile of tins.
It could. The moral is, don't spend a lot of money getting new lips. Stick with your old ones.
Right.
He's actually got something right. It refers to Coronation Street star Lynn Perry, who was sacked from the show just months after she had a facelift, and I bet the news wiped the smile off the back of her neck. Her ill-timed revamp also included lip implants taken from cow rump.
Mad cow lip.
It didn't make her look any better. But at least they kept the flies off her port and lemon.
I think the first time's fair. I mean, she really has suffered enough. She's suffered enough by being sacked.
Andrew, your question now. Why won't Uncle Sam lighten up on lighting up?
This is to do with smoking.
It is indeed.
And the Americans being very keen to ban smoking.
Yes.
From wherever they can, from the White House to restaurants and to other public places. And you're not even allowed to smoke now in the army. Yes?
Yes.
Is that about right? Oh. Goodness me. I mean, these people will produce and spend billions of dollars on technology to destroy people in all sorts of fiendish ways, but they're not allowed a quiet, crafty fag even in the loo or behind the Pentagon bike sheds or whatever they have there.
Well, cigarettes can kill you.
Good point, though. Good point you made, though.
Unlike Stinger missiles.
The Pentagon considers smoking to be so hazardous that its top military advisers believe that the Gulf War could have been over in half the time if only the Allies had strafed the Iraqi lines with packets of Capstan full strength. However, the ban will not be enforced in the Navy, because what would the American Navy be without fags? However, Alan, your proper question now. Where are extra benefits causing a stir? Stir being slang.
Is it Stir an acronym for something?
No, we're in prison, aren't we?
You are in prison,
yes.
Oh, yeah,
the blokes in Clinton.
He's not listening to you.
Claiming that they're unemployment benefit. That's absolutely right.
Yes.
I mean, they're not doing a hand's turn. They might as well get paid. And they're getting all sorts of benefits. They're banged up by Michael Howard, 15 to a cell. What are you expecting to do? But yes, it's not their fault. I mean, it is called a loophole. This is to say some twat in the government hasn't noticed you can just sign these things and anybody can sign them, and they get their gyro checks actually sent to prison where they're cashed by the screws.
I'm amazed they behave dishonestly. I mean, it's pretty quite extraordinary you put people into prison. Then you expect them to behave well.
Very good. It's the news that an estimated 4,000 inmates are claiming Social Security benefit while still in prison. So Peter Lilly's threat to see more DSS fraudsters behind bars is working well. Inmates even managed to slip out to the post office to cash their gyros. The authorities thought something was up when very long, slow-moving queues formed in the escape tunnels. And to cap it all, a bunch of prisoners were found milling around a large hole in the wall. It turned out that their cash point machine was out of order again. Now, we come to yet another round, and the scores are interesting, but not very. It was Richard and Ian have reached a peak of 8, and Alan and Andrew have forged ahead with 14. Before we start the final round, here's an article from the Daily Telegraph.
A man who tried to smuggle a Thai parrot into Australia in his underpants was fined £10,000 in Adelaide yesterday. Customs officers were alerted by the chirping from his trousers.
Well, thank you, Tony Wilson from Slough, for sending lucky us that.
Don't say it, yeah. You always say lucky didn't fancy a nut, I know.
More parrots coming up in a moment. But meanwhile, Richard, here's a piece of music for you. Fire. Richard, this will help you a lot. That was called Fire, and it comes from the crazy world of Arthur Brown. And your question is, what burning issue lacked a certain reverence?
This is a suggestion that Selwyn Gummer should be burned at the stake for leaving the Church of England.
And for feeding his daughter beef.
For feeding his daughter beef. It would solve an awful lot of problems.
I know this one, if you don't.
He's a cheeky little monkey, isn't he?
Now, I do know this. This is about women priests. It's about this vicar who said that he thought not only should women not be ordained, but they should be burnt at the stake.
That's right.
And he made this claim, and a number of people in the Church of England thought this is a bit radical, really. And he was reprimanded by the Archbishop of Canterbury.
His wife said he was joking from the oven. Then, I mean, she did say it. I mean, it was a joke. I wouldn't like to see this man pilloried or need burned at the stake.
This refers to the Reverend Anthony Kennedy, whose response to the ordination of women is to promote burning them at the stake. When it was pointed out this might be considered a little unreasonable, he offered to shoot them instead. Church of England decision to admit female vicars has already led to John Selwyn Gummer going RC, that then he's been RCing about for years. Traditionalists have also expressed fears about female vicars interfering with choir boys. Well, that's definitely man's work. Andrew, can you tell us the one about the football-crazy opera-singing parrot? If that's not too cryptic a question.
Yes, I think I can. There were a few clues in there, weren't there?
One or two.
Yes, this is an object warning to anybody who goes around stealing parrots. Do you think there are people who specialise in parrot theft?
This is a Pavarotti parrot.
It's a Pavarotti parrot.
37 stone parrot.
That's what it's...
You wouldn't put that down your underpants in a hurry.
What does he do, this parrot?
Well, they've had it off, whoever it is, these thieves, with this parrot, yes, which incessantly sings Pavarotti.
Polly learnt Nessun Dorma while watching the 1990 World Cup when she supported Cameroon. If she'd been an England supporter, she wouldn't have got past learning the first two bars. Polly's owner is very worried at the loss, but at least he doesn't have to spend his evenings lifting the cover off her cage 15 times after every performance. Well, we've done our best with the parrots of this world. We'll try one on about ferrets. Where could one ferret about without a flat cap in sight?
I think, I've come around, which is a public... Is it Eton, I think? Is it Eton? Yes, I mean, the Eton. I mean, it's another thing down trouser joke, presumably. I don't know how lonely it gets in Eton. You never know. I thought they got their rocks off at the wall game, all these blokes pile in. But anyway, they've taken to ferrets instead. And they have ferret races down one another's trousers.
William Walgrave was the deacon.
Was he? Oh.
May explain a lot.
I mean, I do hate these stereotypical presentations of public school boys. Don't you, love?
Yes.
I mean, a lot of us went to that sort of school and came out perfectly okay.
I know, it's so silly and childish.
It is.
I was wondering if they had the Eton Ferret song now.
We'll all put them down our trousers together.
Our ferrets between our knees.
Now, before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team have brought along. Richard, have you brought a cutting from us?
An item of police news, Barry, from the Telegraph.
Nice.
It says, two police officers in Sheffield had to radio for help yesterday after a joyrider they were chasing on foot doubled back and stole their panda car. Nice one. Nice one.
Ian, what have you brought?
Church leaders, including the Bishop of Ely and the Archbishop of Canterbury, have been outraged by explicit safe sex leaflets produced by Huntingdon Health Authority. The leaflets, one entitled How to Have Fun Behind the Knees with Pineapple Rings, have sparked off protests in the Anglican world. Dr. Carey, through an aide, said he did not want to be drawn into controversy, but believed public authorities issuing this sort of material should be challenged to justify and explain their positions.
Oh, word. Thank you, Ian. Andrew.
This is a very responsible cutting from The Guardian. On compulsory dread... I'll say that again.
You know, it's how it was in The Guardian.
On compulsory drug testing of prisoners, the Director General of the Prison Service, Derek Lewis, said there was no question of forcing any inmate to take a test, but it would be a disciplinary offence to refuse.
Alan, what have you brought?
I have one from The Guardian as well.
Oh.
A bit more serious. Redbridge Borough Council is to prosecute a hospital in its district after its kitchens were found to be overrun with cockroaches. Council decided to take the action when cockroaches were still seen running around 3 weeks after they had received a warning.
Well, thank you all. Let's have a look at the final scores. Well, you'll be interested to know the final scores are Richard and Ian 10, but Alan and Andrew 18. Worthy winners. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Dartford Informer, sent in by Joan M. Gowers.
The public toilets next to the museum in central Dartford have been in need of improvement for a long time. The building finally got its coat of paint and improved lighting before Christmas. 1994 has seen further work. The building has been demolished.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingram, Alan Corran, Ian Hislop and Andrew Rawnsley. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser Steele. The producer was Alan Evans.